Today, wait a rate, but for how long? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to What Is Post, covering finance and property news. Today, I'm joined by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Martin.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. And you're asking the right question. How long?
Yeah, so the RBA didn't move. And, you know, it's interesting, three of the four big banks said they were going to and they didn't. But the meeting notes, well, you know, the very quick, really brief ones that are out, really doesn't give much away other than they are still thinking that rates may have to go higher. But out of that, the RBA has been quite clear, hasn't it, that rates are still likely to go higher. So this is not permanent relief. This is, if anything, very, very temporary relief.
Yeah, look, Martin, I've got my mojo back as well, because I said they wouldn't bump it up this month, but I still reckon they'll go twice again. So my mojo is back. But the language is very, very careful. And I guess if they've learned one lesson, it's to be careful and not with your language and not too definitive, because people take you too literally. So I'm pretty sure they'll go again. They expressed a couple of months ago that they really rely a lot more on the quarterly number, the quarterly CPI number, than those monthly inflation updates. And I can see why. I mean, there's a whole lot of noise that they kind of filter out of the quarterlies that aren't filtered out of the monthlies. And it gives them a better picture of the long-term inflation rate that is the one that they've really got to address. So I think probably they said, look, there's a headline improvement. People will be kind of shattered seeing a headline improvement if we still go. So let's hold fire and just see what the quarterlies look like. I think they'll look at the quarterlies though and say, we haven't tamed the beast and we'll have to go again.
Yes, and it is worth underscoring that the monthly inflation measure is a bit wobbly, a bit rubbery, a bit new. The quarterly one is slightly better, but the underlying inflation number, even in the monthly number, was not particularly encouraging, right? So the headline was better, but the underlying, the core, the sticky stuff is still there. And of course, that's linked partly to wages and partly to some of those more intractable things. And of course, we have now higher energy costs coming through. So from 1 July, on average, maybe 25% down the East Coast increase in terms of electricity. So, the concept of the base effect, which was effectively a year ago, we had bigger hikes, so they're dropping out. Those are actually dropping out as expected, but there are some new ones coming in. So I believe that they will have to move again.
I think so. The underlying inflation only improved about 0.2% or something.
Yeah.
That's after they take out fruit and veggies and petrol. And you look at that and say, well, gee, that's hardly an improvement at all, in particular with the electricity bills coming through the pipeline. And insurers are all, they're running around all saying, look, we're going up by 20% this year. So you know, it's just nowhere near tamed. We also have full employment. Now, people might be shocked to hear that 3.5 or something is full employment, but it is. The rest is sort of just the comings and goings. So we've got full employment. Now, that means we still have a tight labour market. And we've had the minimum wage case and then other wage increases are saying, look, there's going to be a 4 or 5% increase in wages. So we are running a very real risk that we'll get into that wage price pile that we probably haven't seen in 30 years or something, probably longer. Now, that's the risk. And if we get into that spiral, we are in for a world of pain.
Yeah, and there's one other factor, of course, too, and that is that some corporates in some sectors of business seem to me to be repairing their margins. In other words, whilst the input cost might be coming back a little bit, doesn't necessarily mean that it translates to lower prices through retail, for example, or other categories too. So there's another source of inflation, which is actually now beginning to be recognised in a number of countries as well. They call it greedflation.
Yeah, it's so hard to detect, though. I mean, we've had such a disruption in supply side that you look at it and think, well, what is the real price of something? And so I think it's one of those tricky things to say, look, categorically, it's happening in these industries, but we all think it is because going back 6 months ago, we're all saying, well, this is supply side driven. Now it's no longer supply side driven. Most of those supply chains have been fixed, and all sorts of things are coming back into the country. Even cars are coming back in. So we're at the point where you think, yeah, it looks to be there's a bit of friction in those prices coming back down, and they're prices that actually should reduce. So that would be a real shot in the arm for inflation, because you know when you think about demand-driven inflation, the prices don't ever sort of return because you sort of start building those factors into the pricing. But on the supply side, if your supply chain is repaired, you're buying stuff for cheaper, your price should actually come down, not just stop going up.
Novel idea, prices going down. But, yeah. You know, the higher interest rates are clearly, of course, hitting some households. And I think we should remind everybody that the RBA is deliberately trying to slow the economy. And so this is policy. This isn't an accident. This is policy, right? And the way they're doing it is to lift the charges and costs on loans, particularly mortgages. Now, of course, there are lags involved. And so the question of the day is, what is the lag between pulling rates higher and it really hitting the true economy? And because we've got quite a lot of fixed rate mortgages, a lot of people now are beginning to see some of those big shocks coming through.
Yeah. And look, the fixed rate cliff, as people are calling it, is just horrendous. We did the numbers the other day, and people are going to be on double the repayment. They're going to have one heck of a shock. Now, people on fixed on variable rates have been kind of gradually moving up, and they're in that situation now already. But the fixed rate people are going to be hit with it right between the eyes, and overnight that they'll get this doubling of repayments. So it's quite terrifying. There's a group in the market who borrowed just before the Reserve Bank started putting rates up. And if they borrowed up to their income capacity, as a lot of people do, you know, people who are upgrading for the first time or something, having had family, or people who are entering the market for the first time, they're inclined to say, look, how much can I possibly borrow? All right, that tells me how much I can spend, and then they go and spend it. Now, people in that category, so fully borrowed when they borrowed and did it just before the Reserve Bank put rates up, nationwide, they're up to around 44-45% of their gross income, their before-tax income, going into repayments. Now, the stress level, and I know you have a better measure than they use, but this rule of thumb is 30%. So people are already up for that. So there's a lot of pain, a huge amount of pain. But as you talk about the lag, there is a tremendous lag here, because let's say one in three or one in four households has a loan for their house. And then let's say a quarter of them have fixed rates, and then a quarter of them have been in that loan for 10 years and have lots of money in redraw and offset and things like that. You're down to about half of that lot. So you're down to about a sixth of the community or something have actually been hit with the level of stress that I'm describing. And it's probably a little bit less than that again. So it's such a blunt instrument, because it hits those people first, and it keeps hitting them harder and harder and harder every month before other people actually start to feel really any pain at all. You know, for a lot of mortgage holders even, it's been just an inconvenience at this stage. So it's an incredibly blunt instrument, because it hits one group so, so hard, and the rest of the community just say, oh, well, you know, this is a bit of a dole.
And that explains the retail numbers, which were actually quite strong. And there are still people with plenty of savings, and there are people still who have capacity to spend and are spending. And in fact, if you look at the distributional aspect of that, what you find is that some older households are actually still spending very freely. But those very households that you mentioned that are under the gun are the ones who've dialed back their spending. So once again, it's an unequal distribution of pain.
Yes, yep, absolutely. And you know, there's almost no way out of it while we keep using monetary policy the way we are. Now, you know, it sort of like says, well, kick the economy in the guts, but let's kick this little segment in the guts twice or three times. And that's the way we'll fix it. And then people start worrying about this sort of narrow runway you've got to actually stop inflation but not tip over the edge into a recession. Well, of course it's a narrow runway, but inflation, recession is a funny measure as well, because recession sort of says you've had two quarters of negative growth, and then it says, well, look, there'll be job losses and stuff like that. But again, you know, in recession, if we hit an unemployment rate of 8 or 10%, it would look catastrophic for the economy. It would really be just starting to slow it enough and tame inflation. But for the 8% or 10% of people who actually lose their jobs, it is catastrophic. And that's sort of like, you're sort of using monetary policy knowing full well that you're really going to damage a whole lot of people very, very badly.
Yeah, and I talk about the marginal borrower and you know, the marginal household, because it doesn't need to have all households falling over. You just need a proportion, you know. And if a yes. proportion are actually getting into difficulty, and remembering that something like 60% of all GDP is actually retail related, you know, even if a proportion of them stop, that's sufficient to tip the economy down. But this unequal story, I believe that we have to be preaching this more thoroughly, because a lot of people don't get it, you know, because they still say, well, you know, the shopping centres are full and people are still buying cars, etc., etc. Yeah, some people are, but others aren't. And so it's this unequal distribution of pain, which for me is a conversation we should be absolutely having.
Yeah, Martin, I've been looking at this for years, but I'm looking more closely these days than I did in the past, and probably with older, wiser eyes, I hope. And I look and I think this is not a very good tool. You know, it's if any tool that has to just build one segment of the economy to sort of get the whole thing back into balance, and then push that group down so hard that they'll take many years to recover from it, it doesn't make sense, actually. So meanwhile we had quite an expansionary budget, which is pushing it all in the reverse direction, and wage cases that push it in the reverse direction. So you sort of think, well, we've got to come up with a better answer. Now, I know worldwide this is the tool that's being used, higher interest rates, but they act the same way in most parts of the world, a little bit less in some than others. Now, the lag effect in the US is much longer because they have all of those loans that are fixed for their term. Boy, that'd be nirvana for people, I guess, here in Australia at the moment. But right around the world, we're using this tool. But I think, geez, it does require a bit of a rethink. It's pretty draconian. It goes back to pre-Keynesian days, I suppose, when the money supply was the thing that governments went to when they wanted to rebalance the economy.
Yeah, it's a very blunt instrument, and I actually think we need an alternative path. Unfortunately, the central bankers, of course, are fixated on one tool, the only tool. So if the only tool you've got is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail, and there you go. Now, one other point of pain, of course, is interest rates are higher, but there are some savers. But of course, savers are still being given the damp end of the stick with regard to the transmission of interest rates for those savings. The banks are trying to bolster their margins because they can put interest rates up for the mortgage borrowers, but not give it all back for savers.
Yes, we've been talking about this for a long time now, for months actually, and I recall even pre interest rate increases from the Reserve Bank that the savings rates were coming down like this, even though the cash rate was going nowhere. So they've been putting up with this for a heck of a long time, savers. And now I've looked at this frankly just this morning, and we'll be putting something out in the next day or two, or a few days. The bonus rate savers haven't done too badly. They're still lagging the interest rate increases of the Reserve Bank, but they haven't done too badly with their in total increase over the period of the 12 increases. The promotional people have done well. In some cases, they've actually their rates have increased faster than the Reserve Bank, but that is a rate available to new customers only. So if you have an existing account, you will not get that rate. It's the base rate for the regular bread and butter, regular savings accounts that aren't attached to any bonus rate or any promotional rate. If you like to think of it as the old set and forget savings accounts, those ones that have taken just a hammering. And the increase they've had since April last year, just before rates went up, and now, is around half of the Reserve Bank movements. So that shows just how far behind they've fallen over the 12 months that they should have been saying, hallelujah, at last we're getting a pay rise. Well, you know what? They got half a pay rise. So it's not good enough, and they have to actually act with their feet and move to a provider that actually gives better rates. And they're around there. There are plenty of rates now above 5%. So people have to take action and do something about getting a better rate because their own bank isn't passing it on to them.
Very important point, Steve, and I see that in my survey. So there is one category, I call them the wealthy seniors. So these are people who are older, who have savings, and who are effectively often not mortgaged. But their cash flow is being depressed, and the reason it's being depressed is because they've still got a lot of money sitting in these very low interest bearing accounts. And you know, one of the observations, if the simplest way to improve your income is to actually move to those interest rates that are available elsewhere. So shop around, you know, use the CanStar tools to be able to actually find the better deals. And I think this particular group, it's quite interesting because quite a few of them are still not that comfortable with digital. And it means that it's quite hard for them to be able to spot where those better opportunities are.
You're right. In fact, I used virtually the same words in the thing that I wrote today. Most people sort of view having to, let's say you're using those promotional accounts. Most people would say, what a nuisance, I can't be. Well, a lot of people will say, it's a nuisance. Everyone would say it's a nuisance having to do that, to actually change banks to get a promotional intro account. And that is a real nuisance. Some people will say it's a nuisance and I'm not going to bother. But there's a whole group out there that are less digitally aware that just can't do it. It's just too hard to do it if you're not digitally connected, let alone find the interest rates. So they're the group that are doing it toughest. Now, that's a group that are potentially retired or probably retired and probably living off their last term deposit or something and need to do better with their money. Or their last money in their savings account. Now, if it's in the savings account, they might be getting 2% when they could be getting 5%. And, you know, an extra 3% on your $50,000 is, I'll say $15,000 a year, I suppose. Now, who can walk away from that? If I get that right, that's, no, it's not right. $1,500.
That's better.
Wish. $1,500 a year. Who can walk away from that? You know, that pays you electricity bills or something.
That's exactly right, and that's why I'm seeing more of those more wealthy seniors actually under the stress pump, simply because they don't have the easy capacity to be able to improve their cash flow. But shop around, you know, it's still worth doing. And you know, even have to say the online tools like CanStar, they are pretty straightforward. You know, once you go into the site, you can get a lot of information very quickly. So, you know, maybe sometimes it's the thought of doing it is worse than the actual doing it.
Look, it is. If you go onto our website, you sort of look at it and you think, my God, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of products. How do I deal with this? Play around with the buttons. You know, you can rank them all sorts of different ways. You can filter them all sorts of ways so that you get to the sort of product you need. Now, sometimes you'll never get all the information from our website, but it gives you the short list, and then you go onto the provider's website and, you know, Google that specific product so that you're not sort of finding your way through their maze. And it's sort of, it's a lot easier, and you can do the transfer online these days as well. So it's just much more accessible for people to make the transfer to another provider. And what's more, I always like to remind people, because there's always someone shocked when they hear this, the government, the Australian government, guarantees savings up to $250,000 with the one institution. So you can have, you know, three different accounts adding up to $250,000, and you have it guaranteed. When it tips over the top, part of it isn't, but that's life. 250,000 is a lot. So it gives people a lot of freedom to choose providers that aren't necessarily normally on their list. They're not one of the guys that has a branch on every street corner. It might be a branch, that a business that is digital only or has one branch in one part of the regional Australia or something. But you can still put your money there and have it guaranteed by the Australian government. Now, that's got to be an ADI, Australian Deposit Taking Institution, but they're the only ones we list on our savings website. So, because it's the world's your oyster, provided you can open your computer, your iPad, and find the internet.
Yeah, that's right. Step one, find the internet. Now, just before we close, Steve, let me just come back to loan refinancing. So, mortgage rates are going up, but there is still a considerable difference between the best rates and the worst rates out there. And you and I still know that there are many people who do not have the best rate they could get, even now, even in this environment. So once again, use the tools and go seek the best deals that are there.
Martin, I don't normally even talk about the worst rates because they're so ridiculous that people would say, what? And the reality is that some of them are just sort of mainly used as reference rates these days, but there still would be some loans on those super, super, super high rates. And just looking at the average home loan for owner-occupiers paying principal and interest, the average rate is 6.64 now. The minimum is 5.24. The maximum is 9.14. Now, not many people are still going to be on that, but I bet there are a few. And probably at the tail end of their loan, and they're thinking, oh, I'm paying this off, this is great, life's rosy. Well, it will be once they've repaid the loan. But why add a couple of years to that residual on the loan by paying 9.14% when you could be paying, well, maybe not 5.24, but somewhere around 5.5 or 5.7? It's a massive difference. Hundreds of, on that $500,000 mortgage, moving to the, saving yourself around 1%, it's something like $500 you save yourself by going to, say, 5.5 from the average. So $500 a month, try getting that off your grocery bill. You can't.
Spot on. Yeah, so the point there is, again, it is worth shopping around. And, I want to underscore, it isn't a one-off operation, right? You need to go and check. And check and recheck. Don't just set and forget and say, well, I did it 3 years ago and I got a good rate then, because almost certainly the rate you got then is now not the best rate that's out there. And there is a lot of competition amongst lenders at the moment, particularly among the refinance set, because, of course, the momentum in the industry is quite low. So given that the RBA is definitely going to go and probably put rates up again, it's down to individual households to grasp the nettle and really think very hard about what rates they've got and what rates they could get. And it's the easiest way to save a bit of money rather than trying to trim off the budget X, Y, and Z, if you can actually use the systems and tools out there to get a better deal.
Yeah, look, just to reconfirm what you're saying about do it every year, you're dead right. Since the Reserve Bank started to move in April, last year, the most existing households have had the 4.25% just added straight to their loan. The latest one, right, not yet, but they just added straight to their loan, just with a lag of a couple of months. But in that time, the average rate for new borrowers is 0.3% below existing. So the average that new borrowers are being offered in 12 months has fallen 0.4%. Now, 0.4% is some hundreds of dollars a month in a $500,000 loan. So you absolutely are right. You've got to do it every year, because if you do it this year, you don't think, well, I'm right now for the next 5 years. You're not. You'll be behind again on current trends. Now, I think that trend is going to have to stop, because banks' margins are under pressure because their funding costs went up from the artificially low levels of COVID, and they kept lending to new people at a lower rate than their existing borrowers. So it's driven the margin down. So they've lost margin. They've got to claw it back. They can't claw it all back from existing. They've got to get some of it from new as well. So you're dead right, though. Use the tools. It's too easy to see the whole market in one place. You used to have to read newspapers, walk around the streets and get brochures, and all that sort of stuff. And by the time you got ready, the rates had all moved anyway. Well, not anymore. You get live rates and you get them there and then in one place. So use all those tools, and it's easy for a set of people to refinance. Now, unfortunately, if you're already in stress, you won't find this avenue, but it's easy to get refinanced if you've got an LVR of 60%, so you own 40% of your property. You've been in the property long enough such that it's 5 or 10 years, it's not a big mortgage. You have plenty of income and secure income to meet further repayments. Banks are falling over themselves to refinance and get your business, and it's mad if you're not knocking on their door and saying, take me.
Absolutely. It really is a very, very important message. And I know we keep preaching it, but we still see in our surveys a lot of people who have not taken advantage of this very simple route to dealing with some of the stress that's out there. And given the fact that we're not expecting now interest rates to fall, certainly over the next 12 months or 18 months, I think it's going to be the end of next year before we see any relief, and it may even be longer than that. It is down to individual actions and people grasping the nettle. Steve, I really appreciate your time today, as always. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. And I always note we managed to chat late afternoon, so your halo grows as we chat.
It has been. I sort of basically get off to start working on my lighting here, Martin, and get some technology.
Well, you know, be careful what you wish for, because you know, there are things you can do if you really want to get involved. No, but I don't recommend
it. You're just set up to watch the cricket as you work.
Has been known, Steve. It has been known. I must tell you, I quite often have multiple things going on at the same time. Thanks very much. See you later.
Thanks, Martin. Cheers.
Thanks, Steve. Take care. Bye bye.